Lisa wants to hear from you. Call her at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show is on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is one of the people, one of the reasons I treasure Connecticut and love living here is because of people like our next guest, Judy Preston. Judy Preston is an educator with the Long Island Sound Study through the University of Connecticut's Sea Grant office in Groton. She runs an advanced master gardener program called the Coastal Certificate Program to teach sustainable gardening practices that are focused not just on getting beautiful vegetables, but on reducing nitrogen inputs that ultimately dump into our beloved Long Island Sound. She's worked as a geologist. She worked for 25 years for the Nature Conservancy, one of the greatest unheralded organizations in this country. And she's the founder and director of Tidewater Institute, a community-based conservation organization in the Connecticut River estuary. She's taught environmental science and landscape ecology as an adjunct faculty member at Three Rivers Community College for 8 years. And clearly, Judy, you must be passionate about our planet and keeping things as clean as they can be and restoring ourselves to take away some of the ugly footprint of human nature so that we can live in harmony with this planet. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show, Judy. Welcome very much.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a pleasure to meet you. Can you hear me well?
I can, but I would prefer to hear you closer. You sound a little bit like you're through a megaphone.
Okay, I'm going to. How's that? Is that any better?
I think it's a little better. Andrew, is that a little better? What do you think? A little bit.
I think so.
I think okay. Andrew is always, the thing about it is I'm here at home watching the snowfall and Andrew's in the studio and he's fielding a million callers at one time while keeping you on the air and listening to me in another ear. So anyway, welcome Judy Preston. I'm so happy to have you on the show.
And yes, you have to
tell me, Judy, how you came to make this your life's work. How and when in the, you know, did you decide? Because clearly, it's your whole professional life has been devoted to making the planet better. Like, what was your, you know, what was your moment? What happened?
Oh God, you know, I think it's been a gradual. Actually, maybe not even that gradual. I remember as a kid growing up in Glastonbury, walking down along the Glastonbury Meadows on the Connecticut River, and of course now I live at the Connecticut River estuary. I left for schools and I left to live out west for a while, but I always had this hankering. In fact, I always had a quahog shell on my right next to my kitchen sink, wherever I lived, because I had this feeling I would be heading back to Connecticut. And I, you know, always had the support of family and friends, and I just love being in the woods and being on the seashore. And the more I learn about how nature works, the more interested I am.
So Judy Preston, so tell us, educate us about the specialness of what an estuary is and why Long Island Sound as a body of water is just such an importantly unique, important body of water?
Such a great question. I'd be happy to. First of all, estuaries, I like to think of estuaries as sort of the gardens of the sea, because they are those shallow, nearshore entities that mix ocean water with fresh water that comes off the landscape. And because they're reasonably shallow. I mean, Long Island Sound, the average depth is around 65 feet. That's surprisingly shallow given the depths of the ocean. It provides tremendous resources. Our coastal marshes along the edge, which is important for, you know, all kinds of nursery fish and for migratory birds and waterfowl. And just the richness of the mixing of those resources makes estuaries, you know, really among the most productive ecosystems on the planet. And unfortunately, as many estuaries as we have around the world, just about all of the large ones are threatened with excess nutrients, which is both a testament to how valued they are by humans and how well used they are by humans, but also the impacts of humans using them. And in this case, and in the case of Long Island Sound, it's, you know, a lot of people translates into a lot of nitrogen getting into to Long Island Sound through our waste systems, whether that's our individual septics or it's our waste treatment facilities.
Why is nitrogen? Nitrogen's an element, right? It's like an element like hydrogen, nitrogen. It's up there on the periodic table. Why is nitrogen bad for water? What does it do that makes it bad?
Well, for Long Island Sound in particular, coastal water is generally considered to be nitrogen limited, which means ordinarily it would not have a lot of nitrogen in it. And when you give it a lot of nitrogen, as we do every time there's a storm, every time we get water that comes off the landscape or we get the pulses from our waste treatment facilities, we're feeding a lot of nitrogen. And that feeds a whole chain of events that eventually gets to the point of low oxygen at the bottom of Long Island Sound. That's through
Judy.
You know,
is there like a snowplow outside your window?
No. Are you hearing something?
You don't hear that beep? You don't hear that like beep?
No. I'm sorry. That is somebody who is trying to send me messages.
Okay. Maybe you can mute that. That would be good. Maybe you can mute that. We're chatting with Judy Preston from Long Island Sound Study and Connecticut Sea Grant Program, and we're talking a little bit about why nitrogen is not good to be dumping into Long Island Sound. You said it seeds a lot of changes. Does it ultimately kill a lot of fish?
Well, what happens is it seeds algae, and algae explode. But, of course, you know, the pulses of nitrogen that are coming in, particularly off stormwater, off of storm systems, you know, storms come and go, particularly in the summertime. You'll get a big gully whopper, and that'll send a big pulse of nitrogen into the water. And the algae respond by reproducing a tremendous amount. But eventually that nitrogen pulse, you know, stops or slows down, and all that algae dies. And when it goes to the bottom of Long Island Sound, that's where the problem is, because then you have bacteria that absorb and consume that dead algae. And in the process of doing that, they suck oxygen out of the water. And that's what hypoxia is. And that's where there's a real problem. And particularly in the western part of the sound, where there's more constricted, it's narrower, it's, you know, the wind doesn't have as much of an impact on helping to break up some of the process of what creates hypoxia. So it's an issue. The good news is the Long Island Sound Study and all the partners that are a part of that have worked really hard and have made tremendous progress. We've got a Citizens Advisory Committee that is really a bunch of terrific volunteers who work very hard at providing information and resources, you know, to, along with academic institutions, to work on the issue of nitrogen in Long Island Sound. So the good news is that improvements have been made. The not so good news is that a recent study that's come out of the Marine Sciences Program at UConn has started to look at over 110 embayments along the coastal areas on Long Island and the coast of Connecticut, and discovered that there are our coves and embayments, those places where we really connect if you live on the shore or if you visit the shore. A lot of those bays are hypoxic as well. I mean, they're dealing with the same issue, and it's closer because we have a lot of septic systems, particularly in Connecticut, that border these areas. And so we still are having to deal with that issue. And in fact, you know, dealing with our local bays and cove areas is every bit as critical as looking at the main area of Long Island Sound.
So let me ask you this. We're chatting with Judy Preston, who's an expert in all of this. I was interested in the connection that you've made between gardening and the dumping of nutrients that are not wanted in Long Island Sound. I mean, because everything is a cumulative effect. Most of us are not farmers anymore. But, you know, garden after garden after garden, I guess, could have an impact. So, I mean, I just started a garden last year with Vicki McCarthy, and she's fabulous. And she helped me plant the garden. But what should I know as a gardener? What should I do or not do that would lessen a negative impact on Long Island Sound?
You know, I think the biggest thing that we, the collective we, that both scientists and agricultural, and actually home gardening folks are discovering is that we tend to be over generous with fertilizer. And sometimes that just feels good. I know when I first started gardening, it just felt right to fertilize in the spring and get those plants looking happy. And, you know, if you have a lawn, there's a huge issue with fertilizer for lawns. We've created the habit.
Yeah, I don't believe in it. I don't have any on my lawn. I don't believe in it. I'm not kidding. I have only clover and I have blue posies and wild strawberries. I don't really care. Everyone in my audience knows all I care about is it's green in the summer and it's snowy in the winter and it's icky in between. And I don't really care. I don't do any fertilizer.
You're probably providing some pretty good habitat for pollinators and for other species by having a diverse lawn.
I'm trying.
But that's a whole nother story. Talking to lawns. I think that the best thing to think is, you know, a soil test is a really good way to determine, you know, how your soil is doing. But also we have atmospheric nitrogen that every time it rains or particulates come down, we get nitrogen through that. We get nitrogen through if you're leaving your grass clippings on the ground, which is a good practice. But that's also providing nitrogen back into your soil. And even if you use corn gluten, which is some people like to use that as a natural way to control grubs, that also is giving an input of nitrogen. So it's just we need to think about how we're fertilizing. And actually, you know, your soil can be very healthy by just adding a suitable amount of compost or, you know, enhancing your soil over time.
So compost is not the same as fertilizer. It's different.
No, compost is actually building your soil. It's helping it to retain carbon and moisture, and it's a really good thing. Although I teach in the coastal certificate, thanks to a now emeritus professor from UConn, who I had providing input every year to the coastal certificate, that too much compost is still too much. It's like fertilizer. If you put too much of it in, it also has the potential to over input, not just nitrogen, but other things that are in concentrated soil. So a little bit of compost goes a long way.
Well, speaking of that, we're chatting with Judy Preston, and I see that you've got this thing called the 2020 Coastal Certificate Program, and people can sign up for this online, right? You're giving all this series of classes in March, and they're located at Connecticut. Oh, that was 2020. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm announcing 2020. I'm thinking I'm in 2020 already. It was like ingrained in my head. So for 2021, are you giving any Zoom certificates that people can take? And go ahead.
Yes, I will be announcing that. And it'll be in the, if you go to the Master Gardening website for the University of Connecticut, there's the Advanced Master Gardening class. You don't have to be a master gardener. You can be just an enthusiast, and particularly as we do it online, just about anybody can sign up for it. There is a charge for it, but it's modest. And I will be announcing that in the next couple of weeks.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Judy Preston, for being on the show. Thanks for devoting your life's work to making the planet a cleaner, prettier place.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. It's a pleasure to meet you, Lisa, and say hi to Vicki for me.
I will certainly do so. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. I know we just took a little trip down Daydreaming Lane to coastal blue waters in the middle of a snowstorm, but why not? We'll be right back.